Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
I worship Jesus Christ. And what I've discovered is, if kids get excited about being in church and about celebrating things and hunting Easter eggs with prizes inside, and they're in the house of God on Easter Sunday, you want to tell me what's wrong with that? So you religious people, let me tell you, there's a church about 6 or 8, maybe 3/4 of a mile down the road. You can go on down there, but we're gonna have Easter eggs at this church, and chocolate rabbits, and we're gonna get excited about the blood of Jesus Christ, excited about Him kicking a stone out of the way and coming up out of the grave alive, and saving our souls. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of my first memories of when I first became a father, we were in Fresno, California. And we were attending the, it used to be, it's North Fresno Church. Anyway, I remember on Easter morning, see, I'm probably off on a tangent here, but you don't care. Christmas is always so special. Easter was always so special because you got up to see what we know. My mom really doesn't have long ears, but she made the baskets up and all that. We knew that. But it was exciting to get up and try to find them. They were always hidden, you know, and so you'd be tearing the house apart and finally get your basket or whatever it was. And so we're married. We're not married that long. And about 3 years we have Jeremy. And so we're still young and building our traditions as a family, you know. And me, I'm such a wild hanyak. The only thing I remember is getting up and getting the basket. So I made sure Jeremy had a basket. He's about that big, barely crawling around and stuff like that. He's got his Sunday suit on, and I gave him the rabbit. While Jolene, in those days, my wife took a whole lot longer to get ready for church than she does now. It was a major. So she's in there, and I'm giving him the chocolate rabbit. She can't stop me. You know, this is Easter, man. We're celebrating Easter. And so back then I could eat more sugar, so I'd take a bite and share a bite with him. But then I'd give him a piece, and before it was over, all over his face and all over his Sunday clothes, man, it was awesome. Of course, it was hard to live in the house there for some time, but it was a great thing. God. And so we don't worship rabbits that lay colored eggs. We worship Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. Amen? And out of that comes, I think, a pretty solid, you know, I mean, you can really get crazy with anything, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think out of maintaining traditions that I think are healthy, and I think having, you know, something to celebrate on Easter, you're celebrating new birth, you're celebrating, you know, new life in Jesus Christ. And of course, it comes close to springtime, so you have other things you can weave in there and get real crazy about it. But I'm not going to go out in the midnight moonlight and dance around some stone hinge or something like that. I do have enough sense not to have those as part of my traditions. But part of my traditions are those things that are ingrained that have deep memories. Memories that I think are very important. Memories that don't mean a thing to you. And if I shared some of those memories, they still wouldn't mean anything to you. You might identify with them because we all kind of traditionally grew up in America pretty much the same way. There are some differences because of ethnicity and stuff that they approach the holidays a little bit differently and so forth. But for the most part, we kind of had the same focus and direction. I think all of you got up and got Christmas presents, and all of you probably got up early and found your baskets or however you celebrated. But those established memories, memories that make you what you are today. Many of your convictions are born out of some of those family experiences, some of those things that you encountered in life, the lesson you learned as some mentor or someone tried to help you. If your mentor was like my mom, the mentor, she was rather forceful in her efforts to correct you. And I always remember, I always thought, well, this is kind of extreme, but I never called, you know, family services or anything like that. Back in those days, I don't even know if they had family services. But anyway, I remember highly respecting my mother because she would not bend on her convictions. She believed this or that or whatever I had done was wrong, and she wanted to get it across to me. She got it across forcefully. But let me tell you what that developed in me, just to kind of give you an idea. When I did things that I knew were wrong, and I was still going to go do them anyway, I tried to do them in such secret that my mother would never find out, because I didn't want my mom to be ashamed of me. Now, where does that come from? That comes from a healthy respect of a lady about that tall that could beat the fire out of you with a stick, and you know, I'm strong enough to take the stick and snap it and maybe her arm or crush her like a grape, but you don't do that because that's your mom, and she's the one that raised you and put and instilled in you the whatever good and whatever right is in you. She's probably the one that helped instill that. And so I think memories and I think those kinds of things are blessings. They stay with you. You remember loved ones that have passed on and that kind of thing. You remember them and you remember the memories they created and the impact they had on your life. And that's why I'm thinking that in part of our process of emphasizing greater faith, I think one of the things we should address, along with the whole list that I've already given you, is something that's in Proverbs, and I want to read that for you. It's a couple of verses, two short verses, that I think are pretty good verses to kind of give you the gist of what I think I'm leading toward and what I think the Lord wants us to know. I don't know if you've recognized yet that the different words that we've used to encourage you to do these particular things to help build your faith and help you see the actual things that God does as a result of your actions and your life and your faithfulness and your commitment to God. You can measure those things. You can see God. Well, right here, we just gave you one this morning. You can see and measure the blessings of the Lord. Now the interesting thing about God's blessings and His establishing memories with you, memories that will carry you through life, memories that will make you strong in a time where you really need to be strong. And there's going to be things in life where you really need help beyond yourself. Is everyone aware of that? That's one of the great things about being a Christian. I have strength I can call upon that is outside of myself that will come and help and deliver me or strengthen me, encourage me, get me through what I'm going through. And then in those good times, we share great memories of fellowship and laughing and giggling around the kitchen table and all those kinds of things that become part of who we are. And I think in our country, and it's true in every country, so it's not just isolated in America, but what it does, it builds a kind of a bond, a connection, a influence, a touch between people. One of the things that I think just is the perfect example of that, and this is why I think God is so brilliant in dealing with us. I think the church is all about that. I think the church is about building spiritual memories. I think the church is about getting together and connecting with the same purposes and the same goals under the direction of the same Savior. Amen? And that same Savior will take your memories from back east, my memories from Nevada, your memories from wherever you came from, and he'll put us together and look at us. Just look around. Are we not the motliest crew you've ever seen? I mean, how in the world does God put all of us with all of our backgrounds and make it an enriching moment, making it a memory, a blessing in our lives that sustains us and encourages us? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm not in this church, I'm gone for a Sunday or something like that, vacationing or whatever, I start thinking about going to church. I'm getting ready in the morning, and I'm getting ready to come down to the office and put my final touches on whatever kind of message the Lord is giving me. And I'm anticipating. I'm excited. I'm excited about coming and fellowshipping with each one of you. I like being able to share the word with you, of course. That's all a part of that. But when I'm not in this church, I long to be in this church. Because of what we just experienced in fellowship and in worship, I don't know if you realize this, but what happens to us is that when we're worshiping together, and we've got all kinds of things swirling through our mind. Now, you don't have to raise your hand because I know this is true. It happens. But it doesn't happen as much here as it may happen in other places, but that's a good thing. But I know for a fact that when you first come in and we first start to worship, it takes you a minute or so, amen? Kind of get in the groove of what we're doing, where we're going. It doesn't take all that long anymore in this church because we just start rocking right away when we can. And that's all very, very good. But most of us, before we really get to that point where we're really back and forth with the Lord, we've got all kinds. Oh man, did I turn that heater off when I left the house? Is the roast in, or what did I? You go through all that kind of thinking because you got this responsibility after church. You're gonna have a roast dinner at your house, or whatever it is, and those things will swirl through your mind for a moment or two until you finally begin to focus. I call that a blessing. I call that God calling us into His presence, helping you to realize those things that are going on outside of you. Outside these walls are really not important right now. What is important is for us to focus on the Lord. And the reason that He likes to do that is because God wants to be a blessing to you. He wants to be the kind of God that you don't just look to as someone who just gives you things, but one who works with you in building the kind of relationship with Him where you're not only ready to receive, but in the proper mind and in the proper heart condition to receive it. And having this also in mind, when God does something in your life, blesses your life, puts a blessing in your life, He does it with a purpose. He does it with a purpose of forming you, shaping you, mentoring you. In other words, when God answers your prayers or gives you a blessing out of the blue of many kinds, He's doing so not only to meet a need or to just bless. Sometimes God does things for you just because He loves you. No requirements, you know, nothing that you have to do, no prayer that you have to pray perfectly, just you and God. And He loves you so much, He just every once in a while dumps something into your life. Have you experienced that? And so when I say things like that, some of you are looking at me a little strange. Pastor, exactly what are you talking about? You know, I don't know. You can make a justification for this, but there's nothing better than to go to the closet on Sunday morning, put on your suit or whatever. We normally through the wintertime we wear suits and then get a little more casual through the summertime, and to reach in your pocket looking for a pin or something, and there's a $5 bill. Oh, Gary, you left it there. Well, of course I did. And then maybe I didn't. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? But how many of you have done that? Pick an old pair of, an old pair of jeans that you haven't worn in a while, and you take them off the shelf and put them on, and you reach in there, it's a $20 bill. Of course, you don't tell your wife. This becomes mad money. This is instant mad money. You know what I'm talking about? It's a blessing, you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, you still need to tithe, right, Rand? Right? That's good. I like that. But I want to read these scriptures, and I want to show you, I want to compare them a little bit, but I want to show you some things that I think the Lord is wanting to share with us as we begin to try to focus on things that we can do to improve our faith, to grow our faith. And I believe each blessing that God plants in our life, whether it brings memories, it shapes us, it mentors us, it forms us, regardless of what God's intent on doing it is, I think that when God blesses us, He does it with the desire to have us recognize that He did it, that it's God who put this in my life. He loves to bless His people. In fact, the two scriptures, they're completely different, but I want you to focus on them because I think they're pretty cool. Because I don't know, I think what really defines Christians, I mean, I'm talking to Christians now, what I think really defines us is that we have things happen in our life that don't have explanation. They have to come from God. There's no other way to explain some of the things that happens in our life. I can give you all kinds of... I remember one time praying for Chad Trago at one time, and we were praying for him, and he needed some money to pay his rent or something like that. I can't remember what it was. Now, you tell me if God's in this. I'll let you decide. But they used to live right down the street here on Shane Road, and they needed, it was like 90, 100, but I don't know what it was. I don't remember. It's been so long ago. For some reason, I don't know if he went out to get the newspaper or what the deal was, he went out to the mailbox on Sunday, and there was a check in there for about $100, covered his, whatever his need was. There was a check that he was not expecting. I don't remember exactly where it came from. He told me at one time, but he was not expecting. How many of you know post office people don't deliver on Sunday? Amen? So he goes, and on Sunday, he discovers a check that he was not expecting, had no idea was coming, and it met his need exactly. Now, you can call that what you want to call that, but I think God is involved in that. In fact, you know why I think God is involved in that? Not because it sounds like, it's not impossible to think that somebody owed him $100 and finally it paid him, he'd forgotten about it. That's a coincidental possibility. But the reason that I really believe that was from God, same reason God told you to put a cross on the flagpole. Because here's why I believe it was from God. Chad told me this was God. Now, that convinces me more than the check that was God doing that. Now, you can call it what you want to call it, but if the man who receives it declares it, it's not that it's not true. He's recognizing that God did this. And you have experienced those things. Part of the problem we have sometimes as Christians, even though this defines us, Christian people have miracles happening in their lives all the time. We just don't always recognize it or realize it. And it's not a sin before God not to recognize it, but that's God working in your life continually. He's always working. He's always blessing your life. But he will add to those blessings that he already does, because he has a relationship with you and he loves you and he wants you to be blessed and he wants you to receive good things and he enjoys blessing you. Aside from that, these things happen unto us so that God can go above and beyond, so that you will learn an object lesson. And I'm going to get to that lesson in just a second. Don't let me forget. If I forget, raise your hand and say, lesson, Pastor. What was the lesson that we want to learn there? I want to read the scriptures for you because it's moving on in time. In the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, if you've never read them, gone through them, or spent any length of time in the book of Proverbs, it probably has some of the greatest practical wisdom that has ever been given by man to man from God. How's that? But I want to read the sixth verse, and this is what it says, just very simply, a very interesting contrast that King of Israel, Solomon, writes for us. And listen to what it says. It says, blessings are upon the head of the just. Now comes the contrast. One of his techniques in getting wisdom across to people was not only to make a wise statement, to contrast it also with a statement that shows you how opposite it is. And that, therefore, accentuates the statement that he's making. Hang in here, because you're going to, before you go to sleep, let me just warn you that there's going to be a blessing ahead of you, so hang on. He said, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. He's making a very interesting statement about blessings. God wants to bless his people. God will bless those, he will bless you above all the regular blessings based on things that you do. Now, salvation does not come by anything you do. You just believe, other than believing in Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But living for God and walking and being pure and righteous and godly and all those things, that takes effort on your part. That's things you need to do. And God blesses those things above and beyond that you do. And so if you are a just person, God's blessings will be upon you. Now, I will make a statement that you may not agree with, but I'm going to make it. I think these principles work for Christians or non-Christians. If there's a non-Christian that is a man that knows what right is, and he lives a righteous life, he may not go to heaven because of it, because he has to receive Christ, but it may very well point him to Christ. I don't know. But my point is this. If you live in a way that you discern right from wrong and you try to do the right, God will bless you for that. That's something that you can actually do. Refuse to do what's wrong. Stand up for something that's right. Be a person that's counted amongst the righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you with something today, or let me challenge you with this. I believe that God is calling us not to be just all the lists that I've given you and someone that's growing in their faith. That's not all that God is calling us to do. We're living in one of the most challenging times in history. We're living when everything is so convoluted, nobody knows what's right. Nobody knows what's wrong. If I don't believe in this, there's always probably 10 people that do believe in it, and therefore they're not going to accept my view of that because they believe in doing that. And I can give you a whole list, you've already got them in your mind, of all this kind of lifestyle and this upside down living that's going on in our culture. What is needed today? What is needed today, of course, is good, righteous leaders. But what is ultimately needed today is for Christians who already have those convictions to stand up and stand against. Am I making sense? Stand up first. Be counted amongst those that are just and doing what's right. Now, I don't just avoid robbing banks just because it's in the Ten Commandments. I don't avoid a lot of those sins just because they're written down by God. I avoid a lot of those things because I love my wife, I love my family, I love my church, and I love my country, and I love people, and I want to live in a way that is going to be a blessing to them, encourage them, stand up for living for Christ and living purely and righteously. Now, somebody can always point something wrong in my life. I don't care about that. That may or may not be true, and if it is, I'll repent and ask God to forgive me, but I want to live in a way that is just before God because I know God is going to honor me and bless me because I do it. That doesn't mean I'm going to be rich and live on a mansion or any all that kind of stuff and have a Mercedes or a Harley or two Harleys, maybe three Harleys. None of that. It's because it is better for a man to live righteously than to have his mouth with the wicked. He's talking about people's relationships here. Blessings are on a man that lives just and righteously. You respect a righteous man. You respect an honest man. You respect someone who will do right rather than do wrong. You respect a man that when you make a deal with him and shake his hand, he lives up to his part of the bargain. Am I right? Is that not just basic human relationships? Of course it is. And God blesses that. God anoints that. God's with you. He encourages you. He prospers and he blesses you because of that. Because you've done something that brings honor to him. Why? Because he is just. His character is just. One of the great attributes of God is that he's righteous and he's just. So the decisions he passes down to us are going to be righteous and just. And he's going to bless them if you obey them. Amen? Am I making sense? But the contrast is to show you what human relationships are like with people that don't want to live justly, want to try to get by wickedly, kind of cheat you in a deal, those kinds of things. That reputation will eventually catch up to that person. Because I believe in the law that's not written down in the Bible, but I believe in the law that what goes around comes around, and it comes around harder than it went around. Still with me? Because I want you to grasp something that I think is going to be a blessing to you as well. Because I think when you see this contrast, it becomes simple. Okay, this is what happens to the wicked and the relationships that they have with people. This is what's going to happen with me and my relationships with people. If I treat people right, if I'm just and I live righteously, it doesn't mean I'm never going to have a problem, but it does mean that I'm going to try to find the right solution that is going to be a win-win for everybody. That's not compromising, but becomes a blessing to me and a blessing to that person. That's what I'm going to seek after. Because the product is this. If the blessing is on the head of the just, then that should be tangible. That should be measurable. That should be something like we just talked about with the Crosbys. That's a very good example. Things are going to happen in your life that are going to produce good things in your life. And if you want to have good things in your life, and I don't mean material things, I mean good life, good living, positive living, excited about life, encouraged about hanging out with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. All that kind of stuff comes from the fact that you live a particular way. If you're a hypocrite, you have a miserable row to hoe, man. I'm telling you. Because you're not going to be happy hanging around sinners all the time, and you're not going to be happy hanging around Christians all the time. Because you know Christians, they're always criticizing you anyway. That's part of Christianity. Christian criticism, see? They're not quite spelled exactly the same, but it happens that way. And so I think if this is a defining thing about Christians, that we're living a blessed life and that God looks for opportunities to bless us and He is faithful. These things are true. God is faithful and God is vigilant and He's continually trying to reward us for the good things we do and the obedience we do to the Lord. And so there's some great things that we can do to enhance that and that are visible, measurable, and you can walk away saying, my faith is greater because God did this in my life. And when I lived right, I walked right, God blessed me. Are you with me? And so I'm excited about that verse. And I think I begin to walk with the right actions. I begin to walk with the right speech. I begin to walk with the right heart. And my desire is that everybody wins. Everybody's positive. Everybody gets a reward of some kind, especially Christian brothers and sisters, that God blesses them. How many of you have prayed for someone else? They're going through a hard time. Or maybe not such a hard time. But you've prayed for them because God may have laid them on your heart, or you saw their circumstances and you prayed for them. And you may even have done something, I mean, this is probably unheard of that Christians would ever do this, but you might even have written out a check and sent them, or sent some money, or got some money to them anonymously or whatever. Has anybody ever done that? Don't be ashamed, raise your hand. Okay. And the reason I mention that is you were blessing that person. Who else does that? Who else blesses people like that? God. And so when you do those things, not only is a blessing upon the head of the just, but when those who have blessings bless others, God highly rewards those who bless others. Am I making sense now? That's pretty beneficial, isn't it? Not that we look for, you know, all the freebies we can find in life, but I want to read this other verse to you because I think it impacts just as well and has just as much meaning. It's in the same chapter. It's in the 22nd verse, and this one's an interesting verse. Listen to what it says, and Ken Gus quotes this one quite often around the men's meeting because we need to hear this verse. And listen to what it says. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Hello? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, you can get rich, and you can be the most miserable sucker walking on this planet. Amen? Because there's sorrow with it. Because you probably got it illegally. That's what most would tell you. I don't necessarily believe that, but I do believe if that's your whole focus, is getting money and more money and more money, you're living a pretty miserable life. Amen? But when God has blessed you, hello? When God has blessed you, you begin to live a blessed life. You begin to walk in the blessings of the Lord. And this verse is very awesome because I think the whole concept, I want you to notice, it's not a contrasting thing at all. The first verse I read for you was Solomon's means of showing you the good point and showing you the opposite so you can tell where it is. He contrasts it. But this verse is not a contrast. The blessings of the Lord, they maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. You know what? Keep the rich. Just, I don't want the sorrow. Amen? There are some things that are more valuable than wealth. Oh, I know we need money to pay your bills, right? And to go to Paris or wherever you want to go. I don't care. Don't matter. But my point is that there are some things that are far more valuable, far more wealth-giving in your spirit. And if you've learned the lesson that I'm about to emphasize strongly, you will understand that there is a flow. God has a flow of blessings going. And God blesses the faithful. God blesses the committed. God blesses those who bless others. God blesses those who bless others. In fact, I think it's such a serious issue that Christians should not even be second-guessing. They should already be living that kind of a lifestyle. Because it makes only the best of sense to me that if I want God's favor and I want His rewards and I want it, does anybody want that stuff? If I want those kinds of things, and not just, you know, providing for me the material things, He does that, but providing in me a peaceful heart, not going to bed guilty for what I may have done that day. Hello? Anybody? I didn't cheat somebody in some kind of deal or whatever. I can lay my head on my pillow and go to sleep. fact, my wife thinks I'm nuts. Everywhere I sit down, I fall asleep. Is that because I'm so comfortable and peaceful, or is it because I'm getting older? I haven't figured it out yet, but what I'm realizing is that there's some principles here that we can do certain things and enhance our relationship to the Lord, build our faith, and learn probably the most blessed life there is. Why do you think it is? And I'm not going to try to put a Christian thing on certain people, but there's a lot of very, 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 very wealthy people that have established philanthropic foundations. They've made billions of dollars. And I don't know about you. I'd like to try it sometime, but I don't know if you could even spend $1 billion in your lifetime. I don't know. You may be making more interest than you can spend. You know, I don't know how that all works. I'm not living in the world of high finance. But some of these people that have become so ultra rich, it's amazing to me that there's something that comes with that blessing, and I call it a blessing, that blessing that puts something in their heart. They want to be a blessing to someone else. We've received blessings in this church from the tribes. Have given us some monies to buy stuff for the school, you know, playground equipment, stuff like that. What is it that drives men to do that? I think there's something innate. I think God has put something in our hearts that we can actually do something and reap many, many spiritual and otherwise blessings. I don't know about you, but I like investing in myself. Do you invest in yourself? I read books because I want to invest in myself. I do all kinds of other things. That I think golfing is a good investment. If I was a Jordan Spieth, it would be a good investment today. But anyway, what I'm leading up to is, if the nature of God is to bless His people, why is it not the nature of God's people? I think churches are the most giving organizations in the world, but isn't it interesting that there seems to be something in the heart of men that says, if I've been blessed so much, the least I can do is try to bless somebody else. And if you're an ultra-rich person like a Gates or whatever, and they have their foundations, I'm telling you, this is the truth, and they try to bless people because they're so wealthy. I think that's honorable. I think that's a wonderful trait. I think that's a great blessing. In a very affluent society, don't you? I'm not asking for an offering after this message, so you can agree with me if you want to. But my point is, I think Christians should be living the lifestyle, and we do emphasize it in this church, don't we? Don't we give money to Life Options? Don't we give money to several other ministries that are going on in this state? And don't we give missions money to several ministries that are going on around the world? We do all of that, and what's the purpose? Well, we've been blessed. And we want to bless those ministries. So I'm beginning to think that one of the things God is emphasizing in this greater faith year is that you will gain greater faith and greater knowledge and greater experience with God and His blessings if you learn to bless other people. Live a lifestyle of blessing other people. And you know, it doesn't take money to even do that. I think the biggest things you do for people, love them, cry with them, laugh with them, live a life with them that honors God and is a blessing to them. Give them an encouraging word now and then. You cannot talk to my wife. Well, maybe she won't talk to me this way, but you can't. You call me. Well, don't do it now. She's in tax time. She might eat the other phone right in front of you. But when taxes are over, you cannot. And those of you that, when I say this, well, those of you that believe me, I want you to raise your hand. You cannot talk to my wife and her not tell you, bless your little heart. Huh? Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And really what that is her way of expressing, you know, she wants God to bless you in this situation, whatever God can do to make that situation better. Or even if it's a good situation, even make it a more appreciative and whatever. But she'll always be telling you, bless your heart, bless your heart, bless your heart. I think that's not only her lifestyle, but I think it's a lifestyle all Christians should have it. Not that she should always run around. I don't want this whole church walking out into Zilla now and saying, oh, bless your heart, bless your heart, bless your heart. Get your own saying, you know what I'm saying? But what I am saying is this. I think we as a church should start living a lifestyle of blessing people. I think blessing is far stronger than we realize it is. And you, those of you that are brilliant theologians, this may not be a very exciting message to you, but if you practiced it, you would find some exciting things happening in your life. And I'll tell you why I believe this, because every time I try to bless somebody, God just blesses me. He just, you know, and I don't do it for the reward, I do it for the benefit of the person. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? When I talk to people out on the job or wherever else, the guys that know I'm a Christian talk to me about Christ or whatever, I always tell them how they can get blessed by the Lord. And then I always add, hey, I'll pray for you as well. And then give them the best advice you can give them. But I try to speak a blessing into their life. Now, I don't want to go to too much seed because you can get into these weird imparting things, you know, that goes too far. I believe you can impart blessings in people's lives. I think you can say positive things into people's lives and plant seeds of blessing in their hearts. Are you with me? Now, we're all going to go through things that are not always going to be positive, but you can try to make a negative situation into a positive. Have you noticed when you've, let's go so far as to say when you've sinned, it don't even have to be a sin, God will do the same thing. Have you noticed that when you've blown it or done something wrong or even, you know, even Holy Spirit's kind of convicted you about something that he wants you to change in your life, have you noticed how God takes that negative situation, even if you had to repent of the sin and go through all that crying and all that contrition and all that stuff to get it right with God, have you noticed afterwards how God turns that negative thing into a blessing in your life? Amen me if you could see, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You've gone through a lot of horrific things in your life, and yet somehow God, I don't know how he does it, but I know he does turn that around and make it a blessing in your life. And so I'm convinced that if we could learn to live in a way that we can speak blessings into people's lives, not just so that we can receive, because if God never gave me another thing, I'd be upset in my heart, but it wouldn't detract from my confidence in God, my faith in God. I still believe if I never got another blessing. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've been born again. I know that I've been transformed. I'm not the man I used to be, and I'm consistent in trying to live right before God. So I'm certain of all those things. I don't need blessings to prove those things to me. But if I can invest in other people's lives by speaking blessings into their lives and knowing that God honors those words of blessing other people, I want you to know that your lifestyle will change dramatically. It will change dramatically. Because what does it do? It first of all takes your eyes off of you and focuses on someone else. And that by itself, hello. Man, there was energy there. Woo! That takes your eyes off yourself and your own problems and focuses on someone else so that you can try to be of benefit and blessing to them. And what that does in your life, in reciprocation to your life, is that your life begins to look more positive and more blessed and so forth. And then God gets involved and does even more. And so I'm interested in things that are going to be biblical and not taken to an extreme, but are going to be effective and powerful because God is a partner in it. Let me give you an Old Testament story. Remember when the old patriarch was dying and he called all the kids in and he laid hands on Joseph's kids and he laid hands on all the other tribal leader kids and he spoke a blessing into them? Sometimes it was a good blessing, sometimes he spoke a warning into their life. But what he spoke into their life absolutely came to pass. Absolutely came to pass. And so we've got to realize that what we say sometimes can have effects on the future in somebody's life. If you don't believe that, how many of you fathers that have repented and come to Christ used to browbeat your kids when you were mad at them? You dummy. What would make you do something so stupid? How many of you said, no, don't raise your hands on that. How many of you have not, even in your discipline, have not made an effort to try to plant a positive seed in your children? Then when they're about 16, 17, 18, they begin to act out exactly what you spoke into their lives. Now, I don't want to go to seed on this. I don't go to extremes on anything. I try to keep a balance in my life and my theology. But I know that fathers and mothers have influence on children, and they speak things into their lives that I believe come to pass. Call it prophecy, call it word of wisdom, call it whatever. But one of the things I appreciate about my wife, other than the fact that she's a gorgeous woman, and she's put up with me for 44 years... Well, I'm gonna have a piece of cake today. Good. One of the things I appreciate about her parenting skills, and by the way, a lot of this is learned because of me. But anyway, one of the things that I remember my wife doing, she never spoke down to her children. Never. Even when they were doing something wrong and needed to be disciplined, she never spoke negative words to them. She never called them names. She never, even in her disciplining, and she, don't think she can't whip a little bit. Now, let me, can I tell off on her? We're about to close. Does anybody remember on Knob Hill that used to have Pizza Haven? Does anybody remember that? They had one of the best salad bars. But they'd always give the kids a balloon with one of these fiberglass sticks. Does anybody remember that? Ask my children about the fiberglass sticks. When you get a chance. You didn't have to cut a willow off the willow tree. Anyway, my point is this. Even in her disciplining, when she had to spank them, or if they squealed in the middle of a store while she's going down an aisle, she would pinch them. Because she didn't want to get arrested by child services, you know what I'm saying? She's not like my mom. My mom would just tell him, hey, the name's Betty Carell. Go ahead and call him. But my wife was a little more sensitive than that. But I remember her parenting skills. In fact, she still does. Now she's starting to spill over onto those grandkids of mine. And it's always something, oh, they're just so wonderful. Well, I know they're hellions sometimes. I know they're demons. Not to her. She never saw any horns on my kids. My point being is this, she spoke positive things into their lives. And here's what her statement is. When our son was in rebellion and so forth, before he had his enlightenment, as he calls it, she would pray for him, and this is what she would say, by faith, I see him as a godly man. She spoke blessings into the life of a kid that's just being as honored as he could be, kind of like his dad was, you know. And so I've listened to that, and I've heard her talk and her testimony, and I've seen the tears rise up in her eyes in response to a God that is faithful. You see, God's blessings are faithful. He's consistent. He's constant. He desires you to be the best you can be. He speaks good things into your life. He wants you to be the most positive and powerful person walking on the planet so that your words influence people. So when you pray blessings, speak blessings into people's lives, they are literally transformed because of the word you put into them, you planted in them. So mom and dad, when you were raising your kids or are still raising your kids, you might want to remember, I know there's going to be times when you're going to pull your hair out and want to strangle them like whatever. We've all had that feeling. But if you'll remember, even through the disciplinarian part, that you will make it a positive experience in the midst of a negative experience. Turn that negative thing into a positive. And you do that by speaking positive, powerful blessings into their lives. People have a tendency to live what other people's expectations are. That's too bad. But if those expectations are planted there, are positive, and they're a blessing, I see you as a godly man. I see you as a godly woman. I see you in whatever profession you're doing, being in, not only good at your vocation, but being a good witness and a blesser in your life. If you bless other people, they will become blessers as well. I think there's an interesting principle about how God does it. When the patriarchs are leaving this earth and they're leaving their legacy behind, it is one of blessing. I bless you that you'll be... And David's tribe was blessed, and of course Jesus Christ comes through that lineage. And so you can see how God, through the history of man, has shown us, I want to bless you. I want to be a part of your life. I don't want you to have to experience all the negative things this world offers you. They look good at the time. They even have a short amount of time of really being exciting and so forth. But eventually life is going to catch up to you. But if you approach life in a positive way, and I want to be a blessing, and I want God's blessing in my life, I want to become a blesser, you'll discover by being a blessing to other people, God will pour blessings into your life. And the things that you need in your personal character, God will make them strong. The things that you need in your material life, God will provide them. The things you need in your spiritual life where you need to be stronger, more wise, more gifted, or whatever, God will see that you have those things in your life. And so there's some very positive things you can do. You can do some very positive things to invest in your life. If you are not investing in your life so with this purpose, so that you can be a blessing to other people's lives, you're living backwards. Backwards. You'll be more enriched. You'll be more fulfilled. You'll be more complete. You'll be happier, filled with joy and purpose if you learn to be an encourager and a blesser. Amen? Watch what happens when the next time you come up to somebody. Do it this way. I'm going to tell one. It's kind of a... Are you guys adults here and I can kind of talk adultish? Okay, well, I can see that Ben, he's not mature enough to take what I'm about to say. I got to tease him. I'm going to do this with, and I'll close with this. I'm going up on Friday today. Friday this last week, and I'm playing that very spiritual game called golf with Dave Dalton. And Dave Dalton works on the golf course for free. All he gets paid is free rounds of golf. He can golf all he wants over there, Westwood. And the guys in there are pretty cool guys, you know. Some are cooler than others, depending on how you measure it. And you measure that by the free rounds of golf they give you. Now, this guy's cool. He gives me a free round of golf. So I'm going up there, and Dave's all told them who I am, pastor of this church and so forth. And I walk up the counter and pay every time I go to play golf. I don't mind paying for the round, that kind of thing. And so the other day, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we try to do this once a week if we can, and we go up there the guy tells me, don't worry about it. Dave's covered it. I want you to know this guy's not a Christian. He said, Dave's covered it. Well, I'm out there telling Dave, man, thanks, man. You don't have to pay for my round. I got money. He said, no. He wouldn't tell me the story, but the truth of the matter is this guy was giving me a free round of golf. I didn't know that. So he was trying to throw it off on Dave, to deflect it a little bit. So then I found out later that he'd given me the free round. Well, I still don't assume anything. Let me give you a tip in life. Here's a word of wisdom that'll get you out of a lot of trouble. Don't assume anything, because you're going to fall right on your face. And I'm not going to tell you what the acronym or whatever it is when you take each letter. I'm not going to say that. You all probably already know it. Anyway, so this last Friday, I go in there. And I'm talking about speaking. Dave is speaking blessings into these guys. He's trying to win them to Christ. So he's speaking blessings. And I'm telling you, it's an overflow thing. It's an overflow thing. And so I go up there, and he's talking about golfing and stuff like this. And the guy comes out, and he says, you guys are crazy. You guys don't pay for golf anyway. And I said, what? I said, I got money. I'll pay. He said, no. He said, frankly, what I need is somebody to pray for my sorry rear end. He used a different word. I need somebody to pray for my sorry rear end sometimes. So you got a free round of golf out of it. I'm praising God. Bless the Lord. I'll pray for the man. But I want to show you what blessings are about. He blessed me with a round of golf. Well, I was grateful, man. I got money. I can pay. No. You guys, you don't pay golf here. And he proceeded to tell me a story about a man who and his brother that came to golf a couple weeks ago. Wind's blowing out, very nice day. And they bring this wheelchair out and set it down. His son is in this wheelchair. Severely handicapped. And he's telling me this story. Then he says, the guy comes in with his brother, and they're going to play a round of golf, 18 holes. And he said, well, can this guy do 18 holes with you? He said, sure he can. And so he was so moved that this guy would take his son everywhere he went. He bought a golf cart, the father did, and had it modified so that the wheelchair can come up and be loaded up on the side of the golf cart so his son can go with him wherever he goes. This so moved the guy up there that he couldn't help. He just was so moved to tell us the story. And what I'm thinking is, this man is beginning to think about spiritual things. So Dave has been blessing him and blessing him, you know, telling him positive things about, yeah, you know, you're a good guy, and all, you know, and trying to witness to the guy. And of course, I reaped the benefit of a free round of golf out of it. But my point is, by blessing someone else, it blessed someone else. And this guy with his kid on the cart got a blessing. The guy come in to pay or something like that, and he said, this guy's going with you? Forget it. You don't know a thing to this course. You go ahead and play. I know that's has material value, but the spiritual value is so much greater. Are you with me? I think we can have cause and effect. If I bless, not only is the person I bless be blessed, but they will go on to bless someone else, and before you know, this whole church is blessed. But I got to think, you got to give credit to somebody that does things motivated by love. And that's what I'm saying. If you bless people because you love people, you will impact people. You will change people. And you'll turn them into blessers as well. It's just an amazing truth. And I guess I'm kind of discovering it. When he told me that story, I didn't realize, you know, when you make a statement like that, like, I need somebody to pray for my sorry rear end. Sometimes you don't hear what people are saying. They're saying, I need Jesus. And I know I need Jesus. And I want you to pray for me. And so I bless that man in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because I get free golf game out of it. But there's a soul that is getting ready for Jesus to pick right off the tree. How does that happen? Blessing. Dave has been blessing that guy for over a year. And he respects Dave Dalton greatly. And all those guys do up there because he's been a good one. Because he's tried to bless. He's tried to bless. He's tried to bless. I just want you to be aware of that. And I want you to practice that. Every chance you get, every time you think about it, try to be a blessing to someone. See if it doesn't come back on you. See if it doesn't happen in your life that when you bless, God blesses you. I think there's so much more I could get into, but I don't have time. I'd love to get into some other areas of that are really of great benefit. But think about this in those terms. God, you planted you here for some reason. God put you in this church. God put you on this planet for a reason. And one of those reasons, I can tell you what it is. Be a blessing to as many people as you can possibly be a blessing to. And watch what God does in your life. Let's stand, shall we? Man, God is good to us. Praise the Lord. Now, if the ushers would come at this time and... I want you to try... I've been doing this myself. I've been... You know, I never tell you to do anything that I never try to do myself. And don't try to practice myself. That's called hypocrite. But I try to live the way I tell you. I try to be a blessing. I have to learn the lesson from time to time. But I try to do the things that I share. And I've made some very positive changes in my life and my attitude. And I think some of them are far better than I ever was. I'm beginning to discover. One of the things I've discovered is, I think it's that Jamaican, that message that comes from the people of Jamaica. No problem, man. I don't have the accent, but that's what they tell you. No problem, man. They live a lifestyle. And I'm beginning to realize I worry about far too many things. And it's kind of like that statement I've made many, many times here. I think it was Mark Twain said it. He said, my life has been horrible, 85% of which never happened. was in his mind. And I'm discovering that. I know I've already closed and you're ready to go, but let me give you one more story. I go out to this guy's house. We worked on the house, and Scott's experienced this. Where's Scott? You've experienced this where the house, the trusses heave and make cracks. In fact, I remember one job out there that you stick your hand inside it. And it happened to this guy's job. And what happens is they don't let you nail the trusses down on the interior walls, only on the exterior walls, so the trusses will move. The problem with that is that when you got sheetrock set at one point, when it starts heaving, it starts cracking. And so you have to go out and repair it. It's part of your warranty. You know, you go out to fix it. And this guy, I was very, very busy and I couldn't get it, but I kept in contact with him, told him, look, I can't do it now, but as soon as I get a break, I'll come do it, I'll come fix it. So it's like 4, 5, 6 months later, I finally call the guy and say, I got some time, let me try to help you with this. And so I send my guys over there to do the basic fundamental stuff, the taping and the getting it ready for texture and so forth. And they went over one day, and of course, they're putting plastic up to protect everything, and a picture is loose on the wall. It falls down and breaks a vase that was a family heirloom. We're in trouble. And the worst thing about it was I didn't find out about it till that evening. And the evening of the next day, the guy's all upset because we didn't come the next day. And because I'm the one that sets the schedule. And so he sends a note to the contractor, very nasty note. The contractor, being a very good Christian man, sends it directly to me. And I didn't realize I was a fake and a phony and all those things. But it's good for people to tell you that so you can repent. So I said, I'll call you the first of the week. I'll set up another time when we can get over and try to finish it up. So I call him. Leave a message on his phone. No response. I set up Thursday. We'll be there Thursday morning to try to finish the work, and then we'll set another day to texture it. Thursday morning, I call him. Leave a message on his phone. No response. So I figured this guy's so mad at us that he doesn't want us on his property again. Pretty good assumption. When you make that same one, I'm starting to worry. Thinking, oh my goodness, now what's going to happen? I'm trying to do what's right, trying to do the warranty thing on the guy. So another week goes by, nothing. So I figure that's it. He just doesn't want us on the job. So I go on with my merry little life, and I'm just bebopping down the road like I've got no care in the world. And then I get this message from the contractor and found out that I was a phony and a fake. Anyway, so I call the guy up. And I say, Dennis just sent your note over to me telling me that you want somebody to come out here and get this thing done. And I told him. And now, I was very Christ-like. It isn't what I felt in my heart, but I acted it out. You know, I tried to fake it like I was a Christian. And so I told him, I said, hey, listen, I called you twice trying to set up a time to do this. And I said, listen, I'm sorry about this lack of communication, this kind of a problem, and so forth. And I started talking to him, and I didn't raise my voice or get mad at him or anything like that. And I said, look, let's come over on this last week, what day, and let us finish it up. And in fact, I'll paint it for you. When I get done texturing, I'll paint it for you. Now, that's not my job, but I said, hey, I'll do this. I wanted to make this a blessing. I wanted to make this a positive thing. The guy is already hating my guts. And I'm thinking, a lovable guy like me, why would anybody feel negative toward me? I'm just a fuzzball, you know? So the last day comes, which was Thursday or Friday. Friday. And so I go over there. The guys have been over there. They got it all ready for texture. So I go over there to texture it. I'm thinking this guy is going to squeeze my brain like a grape. And I get over there, and we finished it out, sprayed it out, and we're cleaning up. And I'm talking to the guy. I said, hey, I got the paint for your job. I'll call you and set up a time to do that. And we got to talking, and the guy, he says, I'm sorry. We got in this kind of a dispute because everything was just caving in on me. You don't, and he starts to tell me his life story. Not entirely, but he starts telling me, and I begin to realize I've been worrying about this for nothing. This guy's going through something that I don't know about. And I was just a catalyst that made him blow up. And I'm thinking, you know, God, you must have spoke blessing into this situation. Because now the guy's my best friend. How does that happen? Somebody tried. I tried to be a blessing to the guy rather than a weight on his shoulder. Am I making any sense here? And so to leave you with that story, your life probably isn't as bad as you think it is. It's 85% in your brain. And try not to think that way. Think blessing, think blessing, think blessing. Bless others, you'll bless yourself. Amen? Father, we love you. Living life is tough, but it's easier knowing you. There's hope, there's blessing. And you always, always make a way where there seems to be no way. You bring down walls that seem to be barriers in our lives. And you make bad situations into good. I don't know how you do that, but I am so deeply grateful. And I bless you this morning, Father. I just speak from my heart a blessing into you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And Father, I bless this church, each and every family, each individual here this morning. I speak a blessing into their lives. May they be able to measure that, detect that, know that, see that this week, not 5 weeks from now, and have it suddenly dawn on them. I want, Lord, for you to help everybody in this church receive a blessing this week, an identifiable, measurable, discernible blessing from you. Lay your hand on their head. Speak justice into their life, blessing into their life. Speak wealth in their times of poverty, health in their times of sickness, richness in soul in their time of need to have character. Father, I bless this congregation, and I just bless you for blessing them. And I do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, don't get out of this church without blessing somebody, okay? Can you do that? Just go up to them and say, bless your heart.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.